I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, we have Dave Nevote from Hubstaff. He is the co-founder of Hubstaff, and we talk about the idea of him pivoting in businesses because he's had several things that he's done throughout his career. We also talk about the idea of distraction and disruption and how he wards those off and what he does to keep that from not just infiltrating himself, but how he looks at helping others with that process as well. It's an interesting episode. It's not a terribly long one either, so you're going to be able to get through this in one sitting fairly easily. So let's just dive right into it. Here is my discussion with Dave Nevote from Hubstaff on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. I'd like to welcome Dave Nevote to the podcast. Dave, thanks for joining me this week.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So Dave, you're the founder of Hubstaff, aren't you?
Yeah, co-founder. Yeah, we've got one partner.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that we were, as we went back and forth, and literally we went back and forth about this yesterday, to be absolutely upfront with everyone listening here, is I didn't want to dive too much into remote company and remote working right off the bat when we started talking about it, because I know that there's definite values there in terms of remote working and telecommuting. But what interested me about you is the way that you are able to ward off distractions and disruptions in a really interesting way. You're very upfront about it. But before we dive into that, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, because some people here may not know much about you and what your background is and what led you to do what you are doing now.
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm 36. Ever since I graduated college back in 2003, I've been doing web entrepreneur businesses. This is like my third business now. So I've had a few multi-million dollar businesses, and I've done that a lot of, you know, the way through those distraction avoiding techniques that I'll talk about. You know, I'm doing Hubstaff now. I've been in e-commerce. I've been in SEO. I've been in services businesses. I've been in now Hubstaff, which is a SaaS-based time tracking company that really has a lot to do with productivity itself.
So quick aside, what has propelled you to move? Like, because it seems like while you've done a lot, they don't deviate too much from the different. What propels you to? I mean, how long have you been moving from? I wouldn't say moving, but transitioning. Like, how do you handle that kind of transition to say, okay, I'm pivoting from here to here, and here's what I can apply from the past, and here's why I'm doing this now. Like, what drives you to do that? Because it's always fascinated me to see people. Yeah, I've started four companies, and I had a couple exit strategies here and there, and I'm like, wow, like I'm just happy to be in one place for a significant period of time.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the thing is, so I got a job out of college. I worked there for, I didn't include this in the bio, but basically I worked there for about a year and I just hated it. It was an office job up in Chicago, and basically it wasn't for me. And so I started this business on the side. It took off, did very, very well, kind of the right place, right time kind of situation. E-commerce, golf instruction. So that was the business. I learned how to do pay-per-click advertising, basically learned how to do copywriting and driving traffic and that kind of thing, everything marketing online. 2000, I had run that business for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and it just got tiring. It just got really tiring. I mean, you can only do the same thing for so long before I didn't find that there was a lot of ways I could expand. I had produced 25 DVDs. I had written every line of copy that you could possibly write about golf instruction and improving your golf game. I had three golf pros. We sold every training aid you could think of. There wasn't a lot of room out for it to really expand. And there was I felt like there was a cap on the business.
Right.
So what I decided to do was I wanted to get into software, but I'm not a developer. So basically I had to, an opportunity came about. I put the golf company for sale. In the course of selling that business, I actually met a group of investors that was looking to buy the golf business. We didn't buy the golf business. They didn't buy the golf business, but we ended up partnering on another deal. We bought a services-based company, SEO services-based company. So it was kind of a natural progression to that. But I knew I wanted to get into software. They offered me the ability to actually run the company and take a salary. So I did that for about 3 years. I learned software. And in the course of that, I started Hubstaff. SEO kind of, I don't know if you know much about it, but it basically, you know, it kind of died out.
So let's talk about the idea of warding off distractions and disruptions, because if you're driven, I mean, and anyone who really wants to achieve, they need to kind of, if they're driven, they need to keep their eye on the ball. So when we were chatting about this via email, you said, you know, you're diehard on keeping your head down and just not getting interrupted.
Right.
Yet you obviously are connecting with people. Like, how do you, because I get a lot of people that say, oh, I can't do that. You know, like, I can't close email. I have to be available at all times. Mm-hmm. And it just fascinates me that people can't get their head wrapped around, and I'm not saying all people, in a general sense, that they feel that they need to be connected all the time. How do you keep yourself from getting interrupted when you're focusing on a particular task? Like, how do you manage to be so ruthless about it?
Yeah, well, you know, you got to start, you know, at the top, I think. And, you know, I think that when I say the top, I mean that basically I have my set of goals in my life and in my business. And those are the only things that really should matter, unless it's like, you know, a major fire that takes place, right? That, mm-hmm. that you just have to pay attention to or whatever, that somebody knocking down your door. But, you know, I have things, you have distractions. I mean, I've got distractions with, you know, I work from home. I've got, my wife needs things. My kids need things. My partner needs things. My employees need things. Everyone needs something from you. But I think the thing is setting up everyone up and let's just talk about business for a while, I guess, mm-hmm. is, you know, basically setting them up for success and making sure that they have what they need ahead of time before they have to distract or ask questions, that kind of thing. So that's a big part of it. And then the other thing is that knowing that you're on the right path, or at least having a really good plan set in place so that you feel good about what you're accomplishing. Because a lot of the problem with entrepreneurship, I think, is like, one of the hardest things is knowing if you're going down the right path or not. And so really all you can do is lay out a plan, work, spend time to lay out that plan, develop that plan, and then just feel good about executing that plan. And the whole thing is, you know, you got to build that plan so that you are working hard every day to, you know, in other words, it can't be easily accomplished, right? You have to work very hard to accomplish it. And my team, you know, I've got a team, I think, of 10 on the marketing and support side. So we have the goals laid out that we're setting to accomplish. Everyone is driving towards their own portion of that goal, you know, with their tasks. I have the tasks laid out ahead of time. So for the week, everyone knows what they have to do. I spend time to describe the tasks that they are going to do. I get their buy-in before the quarter even starts that this plan is correct. And, you know, if you have all that in place, if you think about it, it gets a lot more easy to go offline for a few days because you know your team is accomplishing, right, the correct goals and the correct tasks. And so, you know, there was a long time in my career where I didn't have that and I was going by the fly. And that's a lot harder way to live because then you are reactive to everything. Does that make sense?
Totally, totally. And I think that's what a lot of people, they get, and it's interesting you talk about this in your book, and I'll put the show notes, the remote team management book that you got over at Hubstaff, and, you know, the 50,000 foot view, you know, that idea of it's easier to stay on point when you keep that in mind. Most people get stuck in the day-to-day-to-day, and they're just checking off as many boxes as possible throughout the day. But this, you know, I think that that's something they get sorely missed. So how do you not only teach, like, how do you teach others to do this? Because, I mean, you're working with in your company, you've got some people that you're working with. Everyone's remote, right? With Hubstaff.
Yeah.
There's not an office per se that they go to.
Correct.
So how do you instill this with them? So, because really as a leader, you're trying to foster that kind of process or workflow more than anything else. How do you do that?
I don't worry about it too much, to be honest. I don't worry about that. I don't think, and so we have, let's just call it 10 on the development side and 10 on the marketing support side, 10 on the operations side. So we have, let's just call it a group of 20 people working towards producing the best product we can produce. I don't think that anybody, you know, in the company worries about fostering the relation or fostering the, I guess you would say the environment or the ability to put heads down and go for it in terms of getting the job done at Hubstaff. Like, and the reason why is because it's pretty simple in my eyes. Like, somebody has a set of, let's say, five tasks for that week, five, six large tasks for that week. And obviously, you've got to take into account the time that it would take to get those tasks done. But at the end of the day, that job is either done or not done. After we've agreed, I agree with every person on the team ahead of time, you know, is this accomplishable? Sometimes it could be that it takes 25 hours to do this and there's other tasks going on. Sometimes it might be that there's, you know, it takes 45, 50 hours to do this and they just didn't get it done because it was too much time. But I think the point is that, you know, we got close to accomplishing it. And so I don't worry about the day-to-day kind of stuff. It's either the job gets done or it doesn't. If it gets done, then I feel good about, you know, that person. Obviously, if there was a span of many weeks at a time where things just went off the rails, you know, that would be an issue for me. But that really doesn't happen. We require daily check-ins too. So that's another part of the process. So we require, like, we have a daily stand-up meeting at 9:30 a.m. EST, and basically during that meeting, it's not everyone's present. You don't have to be present, actively communicating, but basically you just need to report your results. And by that, there's like four questions that I have them answer. Basically, it's like, what did you do today or yesterday? What do you plan on doing today? So it's basically, what do you do for the last 24 hours? What do you plan on doing for the next 24 hours? Is your task list on track? Yes or no? And if not, why not? So by doing that, it forces that forward communication so that we can attack that right there at the time and not let things go until the end of the week and say, well, you know, it just didn't get done or whatever, right? You know what I'm saying?
When you it's interesting you bring up this idea of the four questions to start off the day. Do you spend time at the end of the day kind of I'll use the term reviewing or reflecting or even journaling, chronicling what you did so that you're well prepared for those as well? Or do you just kind of
I did for a long time. I did. And basically what I've learned is that I do have tasks that I need to get done, but really my life is almost like a project manager now. You know, I go in many different directions that it's not, it's a little bit different than, so I could easily report what I did, but I just keep that in the Google Doc. And basically I've got, you know, a to-do list, and I just knock those things off and move them down to the done list. So I do have a record of what I do. I think it's a very important to keep a record of what you did, just for everybody's accountability, you know, yourself, anybody that asks you, you know, and just your team. So I've got a Google Doc that's public that everyone can see, but I don't go through and report it at 9:30.
Now, what do you do in terms of, you talk about like no going and checking email. Do you have a tool put in place, or did you just take a lot of time? Because some people do that. They'll use a tool like Freedom or something like that. Or do you just, you've built it in, ingrained it so much that you just know that email isn't something that you check when you're in a focused period of work? Like, how do you mitigate that?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, I just basically, so my phone's always on silent. I don't get many phone calls these days.
I don't think many people make phone calls these days.
Right. Maybe like one or two a day. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating. But I mean, my phone's on silent, right? So I don't get any even text alerts, no kind of, you know, alerts, no sound. And the phone is generally kind of face down. I don't look at my phone. So that's number one. And then, like, if I'm doing something like writing copy, or I'm doing something like making a video, if I'm doing something that requires, you know, a lot of thought, like on this podcast, for example, you sign out of everything.
Yeah.
You know, you just sign out of Slack, Skype, close the email box. I mean, and that's it, you know, and then I just get my work done and I open back up. And I think, you know, in my marketing team, I don't let much go through email. Everything generally goes through, you know, Slack is a part of it. Skype has kind of got pushed to the side. But then also, you know, we have a project management system. We used to use Trello. It's all pretty much the same. Basically, an email gets sent
to your
inbox.
Now?
Well, we have our we're building our own tool. Yeah, we're building our own tool. So it's similar though. It's a Kanban style visual kind of drag and drop project management system, and but the key to that is that yes, you get an email in your inbox, but like it doesn't matter if I respond to it. An hour. That's what I've learned. It doesn't matter if I respond to it an hour or a half later. As long as I have, again, things go back to giving your team those tasks ahead of time. As long as my team can move on and they can work on a different task, then they shouldn't need my response immediately.
Have you had to work with, because again, you're working remotely with people. Have you had to step aside and say to people, okay, look, I see that you're getting constantly distracted, or I hear that you're not getting those tasks done, because I hear this a lot too. Is that, well, I didn't get it all done today because I didn't have time. I didn't have time is a classic result. You know, I mean, so
yes.
Do you try to mentor them in a certain respect, or do you just say, hey, here's a sheet that walks through my workflow, or because I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two things. I'll give an example, a concrete example, like, and then I'll tell you what I think is a smart way to handle it. So one of my employees, I think it was last week, you know, marked down that he had, a meeting with a software company, and it was, a content marketing software that did something. I forget what it even did. Reached out automatically to influencers, mm-hmm. Let's call it something like that. You know, and you get the typical email, hey, let me walk you through what we do, yeah. Kind of a sales email. You know, and he had his agenda, you know, hey, I want to follow up with this guy and get a demo. But that's like an hour of his time. And so I wrote back to him and I said, look, was this on your agenda or was this on his agenda? Whose agenda was this on? Because if it's on your agenda to find a tool to help your to do your job more effectively, then that's awesome. Go for it. But if it's somebody else's agenda and you're now bending and breaking your time commitments based on and letting somebody else infiltrate your schedule, that's not a good idea. And it ended up that, you know, it made sense to him and he never, you know, he ran out of time basically and they never did the demo. But then that's my rule of thumb really is like, don't let somebody else, you know, inflict their agenda on you.
I think that happens a lot. Now let's dive into, you know, what's going on with Hubstaff, because I talked to Jared Brown. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. That was quite a while ago, actually. Now it was we're looking at at least 8 months ago. So since then, obviously, some stuff has changed. You guys are basically, like you said, you provide time tracking, you provide remote support for remote teams, really, is what it boils down to, right? And yep. And so what's been going on there in terms of, like, you guys have been there's an area where I feel that this has got a lot of growth potential, despite the fact that you've heard some blowback about the remote worker, you know, like, you know, what's they need to be present so that you know they're doing work and so on and so forth. I was just listening to Scott Adams' book on Audible, and he talked about how managers need to get with the program that performance matters over attendance, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in your world it does. So what's been going on? Like, what trends are you seeing in terms of remote working that, you know, are kind of you're feeling are fantastic, and then others that you're finding are a bit cautionary?
Well, I guess it's, you know, that's a
big question.
I guess exactly. I'm trying to think about how to answer that one. I don't think there's a huge difference between remote. I think everything's going in favor of remote. I think that even if you have, I think it's been proven that you can build a successful company without having somebody right next to you or looking over their shoulder. I think that if you do a lot of the stuff that, you know, like I talked, I would do the management techniques that I talked about earlier in this show. I would run a company the same exact way, I think, if I had 100 people in my office, you know, and I had an office and everyone came in with suits and ties on, that kind of thing. You know, I would kind of feel the same way about running a company. I don't think I would do it in a different. And the technology, I think, is one thing that's great now. I think the technology has enabled people to work together globally. We have a lot of people in Eastern Europe. We have people in India. And, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me, honestly, where they're at in the whole entire world. And even looking back like 5 years ago, that just wouldn't have happened. So I think that there's been huge growth in terms of that, both being able to find great people all around the world and then also work with them through technology in a way that is just as productive as somebody sitting right here. I'm from Indianapolis, but right here in the Midwest, you know, and I think that's really amazing. And that's something that I think Hubstaff has taken advantage of. And I think that, that's really our goal, is helping other companies take advantage of that same way of doing business.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is with Hubstaff, you get a lot of quantitative data, right? Which I think is really important with productivity. How do you kind of strike a balance between, and this, I can speak to this with your own company as well, qualitative productivity and quantitative productivity, because quantitative productivity to me seems getting, at first blush, is how much stuff did you get done today, period. And then the qualitative productivity is how much of the stuff that really matters did you get done today? How do you strike a balance between, and just, you know, how do you make that, because I mean, I'll go into a company and they'll say, we'd love to have you as a coach. Great. And they go, well, how much is our productivity going to increase by us, you know, by you coaching us? And it's such a subjective question, right?
Right.
So how do you strike that balance? Because if you go too far in one direction, you're not productive.
In my company, you know, I would say that I don't think that really anybody works on things that don't matter. I think that what we've done, I think what we've gotten right is that people are doing the right things. That's so important. And I think with the remote company specifically, setting priorities is something that almost all managers get wrong, and it's something that we've gotten right. And like, it's an easy thing, but it takes time for the manager. And it, you know, it's hard to even know. I think like a lot of remote companies wouldn't even like, they wouldn't even know. If you ask managers what so-and-so was doing today, they wouldn't even really fully understand what they were doing. They could say on a very high level, oh, she's doing social media, but like what aspects of social media? They don't really get involved in the day-to-day, or at least to the point where they're setting the exact priorities somebody should be working on. So that's, you know, that I think that's first and foremost, setting the right priorities and, you know, executing to your plan to make sure that your plan includes the right things. And so, like I said before, working on the right things is, I think, so important. And basically, we do that through understanding what the constraints are in our business. That's how we kind of like determine what we should be working on is looking at the constraints in the business and then trying to push those constraints back and open up the funnels, you know, wider. So that's how we kind of decide what we're going to do in the first place. And then like the, what did they get done? That is done through the daily stand-ups and that kind of thing. We do get other data in place. Like, you know, we have screenshots, we have activity levels, we have, you know, the amount of hours they spent on each individual task. So all that stuff is done automatically with our software. That is super quantitative data. And that's the kind of stuff that you kind of like, you check the box on somebody, then you don't really worry about it going forward.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just understand this person's productive. Okay, we know they're productive. We know how they work. And now move on to the more qualitative kind of stuff. That's the way we do it. At least.
How do you encourage businesses when you because you can obviously assess some of this stuff and you've done enough work with your own businesses. How do you kind of focus or get businesses to kind of focus on setting the right kind of priorities or taking time to do that in the first place?
Yeah, well, that's something that we don't really do too much about. Like, that would be that's something that we would do like through content marketing or like a
it's more what I guess I'm trying to say is the data that you provide kind of can lend itself to kind of making it apparent that those priorities yes. aren't there. So do you you'd shed some light on that, I would imagine, at the very least.
Yeah, and what we're looking to do is, you know, our ultimate goal is to kind of build everything that we've been talking about, the weekly list, the goals, all these different things. We're actually building that into the software as well. So it won't be for a while, but our kind of long-term plan is to build that stuff into the software so that the software will actually help others adopt those methods, if that makes any sense. Because right now it's just, you know, they can use the software how they want to use it. But we're trying to put some structure in place around the software so that they can, you know, get a better sense of those management kind of principles.
Makes total sense. Now, before we wrap up, I want to just ask you to share with my listeners one thing they could start doing right now that will help them not to set priorities or anything like that, but just to get more focused time to themselves, get that, you know, eliminate some of those distractions, and just one simple thing that they could start doing that you did and it paid off in a big way.
You know, I think that if you could find somebody else, and this is a kind of a large one, but if you could find somebody else, even on a, I think everyone thinks that you've got to, when you're looking to get somebody on board to help with your company, to help delegate tasks to things, they get caught up with like, oh, I'm not ready to pay somebody, you know, a full-time wage to do some of these tasks. And I think that if you would look at yourself and what you're doing on a daily basis, and lots of times people get basically distracted by the things that are small, and that, and because they're the things that need to get done on a daily basis. So anything recurring that you basically have to do, document it in a Google document or a Word document, whatever it is. We use a lot of video screen sharing tools, like Monosnap's a good one, Jing is a good one. Record it in any way you can record it, document it, blueprint it, and then get somebody else to do that task. It takes a little bit of it's a little bit of a leap to do that, but you don't have to pay somebody full time to do it. Get somebody on an hourly basis to do that task, and what that does is, I think it opens you up to do the things that are bigger, you know, in your daily routine.
It's one of the things I've started to do, and it was hard because I do have an assistant, but Melissa may not always be my assistant, you know. So whenever I record a video, I use ScreenFlow for that. Right. I have to say, hi, this is how you do this. Like, I have to be very generalized and assume nothing. And that's the other thing is assume nothing, right? I would imagine.
Yes,
I mean,
because totally.
The cool thing is, and I was talking to Nick Snapp about this on one of the Patreon episodes. He talked about how he outsourced his emails. Is he actually recorded just a whole email session of himself, walking through how he dealt with email. And that's a bit more personalized. That's a huge leap because he's based... That's a huge one because he's saying to this individual, I want you to emulate what I do. And it's funny. My wife does a lot of help with the business as well. But one thing I just don't like her doing is email, because we have very different cadence when we email, you know, like I'm a writer.
Yeah.
She replies quickly with curt responses. Right. And so it's very challenging to and you just have to be okay with that. So for me, I think that, and I guess this is another quick question we can talk about is finding, like, being okay if this person or these, if they're not right for that particular task or that particular, that's fine. You take ownership of it if that's what you want until you find somebody else, or give them something else to do, because just seeing the freedom that they're giving you it's contagious, I think, right?
Right. Yeah. I read a book by Peter Drucker, and basically it was about kind of like time management, more or less. And what he said, and you know, his whole thing is, you know, just general management. But, you know, like, his big thing was like, you know, give somebody, don't play to somebody's weakness. Don't assign tasks based on what you have open. Look what their strength is and assign them that task, because, you know, he went through all the famous like war generals and all the famous, it's like everyone has a really negative side to them or call them just whatever, non-strengths, but don't let that dissuade you if they have a very positive strength as well. If they're very good at one thing, give them that and let them fly with that one thing, you know? So just a small example, but and that's if you have somebody, for example, like your wife that is going to be involved and you want to get rid of her emails, but she doesn't, but that's not a match. Yes, find something that's her strength and let her go with that, you know, because that still gives you freedom.
And again, when you're dealing with, like, again, my wife is, we actually have more than just a business relationship, obviously. So you want to be cautious about that as well. That's where, that's where you can, getting remote workers can be really helpful because, you know, there's that emotional attachment isn't necessarily there too, which is, I think, important, especially when you're, right. You know, especially if you're dealing with, you know, some of the tasks that you don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah.
It's not, my wife likes to do the administrative stuff, which is great because I hate doing that stuff.
Yeah. And the key there, just to summarize my answer, it's like, yeah. Documentation. That's the thing. Documentation and then hand it off. Because once you have it documented, you can go through if you have a failure, this person fails, this person fails, this person fails. It's okay because that document is like the key to your success because it's your library. Go to your library, get it documented, and then basically you'll find the right person.
Do you think that people should be doing this kind of thing, you know, as soon as they find something that what's the trigger for them? You know, I mean, for me, what's the trigger? Because I think a lot of people go, well, that's going to take too much time and I could do it. The trap of always, I can do it fast.
Yeah.
I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, no, but the thing is that you've got to think about the best case scenario, in which is that, like, I'll give you an example, like, We had a staffing side to Hubstaff for a while, and it was just, it was complex because we had to collect money, we had to then pay out people based on the rates that they were paid. We had to make sure that we had collected the money, then we're paying out. So there was a lot of things going on there. We were doing it. We didn't want to build software to run all this stuff, so we're kind of doing it with like a Google Doc and like sending money through PayPal. So there was a lot of steps in the process. And man, I was like, it was taking like, you know, maybe an hour and a half of every Monday for me. So I just documented it one day and I was like, Danny, you gotta do this. And so he took it over. And really, like, since then, I've been able to forget about it. Yes, it was complex at the time for me. And yes, it was almost easier to just do it versus, you know, building the documentation and training. But like, if you get the right person involved, like, and I don't even think about it now. So going back to the old way of doing things would be just
editing this
insane.
Podcast is a great example. I used to edit the podcast myself. I still like doing it, but there are other things. And that's the other thing I think it's hard for people is, but I like doing it. Yeah, but here's the thing is that for me, I found out that there's things I love doing. Chris Ducker talks about this, you know, the things you hate doing, the things that you like doing, but other people could do, and then the things you like doing that only you can do. And that middle column is the tricky one. And I mean, now that John Polster produces the show, I just record. I record all, and then I give him the files, he produces it. And, you know, the one thing now I'm trying to outsource the other things, like the show notes and things like that. Because once you start, like I said, it becomes contagious and you get to do more of the things that really only you can do.
Yeah. And I'll just end with this. I know you're going to wrap up here, but I'll just end with this one thing. Basically, when you get, because this is really important, I think, when you're able to outsource some of this stuff and you're able to forget about it, that clears up your mind, which breeds, I think, creativity. And when creativity hits, that's when I think you are able to basically create some value for the world, put it, and that's when you're going to get repaid.
Totally.
You know, that's the way I look at it. When you're creating value for the world, that's when it's going to come back to you. So you can't do that if you're like stuck in admin tasks all day long. You've got to have your mind clear.
Totally. Dave, this has been great. Where can people find you online so that they can dig into more of what you're doing and find out more about Hubstaff?
Yeah, so it's just my email address, dave@hubstaff.com. At Hubstaff is our Twitter handle. I write a marketing blog. It's blog.hubstaff.com/grow. So that's all my growth articles on how I've grown the business. And that's about it, really, in terms of contact details.
Awesome. Dave, thanks for joining me this week on the Productivityist Podcast.
All right. Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank Dave Nevote for joining me this week on the show. Of course, You can see all of the show notes and review them and all that through your podcast catcher of choice or on the blog post, because we do publish these on the blog as well. Now, if you enjoyed the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can leave feedback through a rating or review or both in iTunes. That would be really helpful. It helps people find the show and also helps me make the show better. You could also drop me a line at podcast@productivityist.com if you want to give more direct feedback that way. If you like the show, please subscribe. Subscribe in iTunes, subscribe in Stitcher, subscribe in whatever podcast application you choose. And, you know, there's a lot more episodes coming down the pipe, but there's also more episodes that you can get if you become a Patreon supporter, because you get additional content as a Patreon supporter, but you also get bonus episodes. So additional content in this episode. So every week you'll get additional content from the weekly episodes, but you'll get bonus episodes as well and a bunch of other goodies. Head over to patreon.com/productivityist and you can check out those there. That's it for this week. Big thanks to John Polstra, my podcast producer, for putting things together. And big thanks to all of you for listening. That's it for this week. I'm Mike Vardy, the founder of Productivityist, productivity strategist and host of the show, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.